Thank you, Scott. I traded with Dawson earlier. Said, I'll read Scripture if you come and preach. You good with that? He said he was. I love it. Justin can, he could attest to this. I don't like awkward silence. It makes me nervous. When we were doing our masters together, the professor would ask a question. I'm like, somebody else answer, somebody else answer, somebody else answer. And nobody would answer, so I'd have to speak up. Because it's just part of a tick I have or whatever. So, while Dawson was back there getting ready, I jumped the gun. And but I want him, he's prepared. I want him to be able to read to us from Galatians 6, 1 and 2. So that's what he's going to do now.
Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ.
Good job. Great job, Dawson. Appreciate you, buddy. Before we get into what that great passage is about, I have some good news to share with you. I love good news. And this morning, we have a family who I would say has been visiting with us quite a while. They already said, talking to the husband this morning, he already said, we feel like we're members here already. But they're making it official today. And I can't be more excited. I'm so proud of this family. I'm so thankful for this family. Getting to know them has been such a joy. Their children have been in our home when we had a Christmas party for the teens at our house. They're just great young people, great family. And I'm very excited to announce that Mario, Morgan, Maddox, and Finn Machini are placing their membership along with London Dawson. And London is Maddox's girlfriend, and her parents asked, since she loves it here and she's part of it, can she come here as well? And so London, you're going to be a part of us as well. So if I could get Mario, Morgan, Maddox, and Finn, and London to stand up right here, let's welcome them to Azalea City. Thank you so much. I'm smiling big, but not quite as much as Ulysses and Angie are as well. So that, of course, Mario is their son, and so it's great to have their family with us here at Azalea City. You've heard this illustration from myself and maybe even Justin and others over the years. But I want to remind you about Esmond Green. She was a 49-year-old woman, not an old person, especially the closer I get to that, a 49-year-old woman who died on June 19, 2008. She died in the waiting room of the Kings County Hospital Center Psychiatric Emergency Department in Brooklyn, New York. Miss Green had been waiting nearly 24 hours for treatment. All of a sudden, she collapsed onto the floor. Surveillance footage revealed that she remained on the floor for about an hour without assistance from hospital staff, despite her visible signs of distress. Tragically, she was pronounced dead shortly after help finally arrived. We've heard that one. I've told you that one. First heard about it in a book that was written by somebody in the Brotherhood, and it always has impacted me. But maybe you haven't heard about Edith Isabel Rodriguez. She also died on May 9th, 2007. She was also at a hospital. Martin Luther King Jr. Harbor Hospital in Los Angeles, California. Ms. Rodriguez was in the emergency room waiting for approximately 45 minutes to an hour, experiencing severe pain in her abdomen. During this time, she was largely ignored by the hospital staff. Despite her pleas for help, including calling 911 from the emergency room of the hospital, she did not receive timely medical attention. And she ultimately passed away right there in the hospital waiting room from a perforated bowel. Those are true stories. I wish they weren't. But those are true stories of two ladies who tragically lost their lives waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting in the very spot that they could get help, calling out for help, pleading for help, even calling 911. And the very people that could help her, help them, watched them die. Today we're going to talk about bearing each other's burdens. You know, this life, it isn't always easy. What I mean by that is, even when we submit our lives to Christ, when we confess the sweet name of Jesus, being the Son of the Almighty God, after we've repented of our sins, and we are immersed, buried in water, where God contacts us with the blood of Jesus Christ, and that blood of Jesus Christ, as Theo reminded us of this morning, that washes all of our sins away, it covers us. And we come up out of that watery grave, as we call it, born again, to walk in newness of life. I'd love to tell you today, if you did that, you'll never have a burden again. But I can't make that promise. Because we live in a cursed world. In a world that is imperfect. In a world where there are trials. In a world where there are temptations. In a world where there are heartaches. Sometimes we are so burdened, even as faithful children of our God. Sometimes we are so burdened, we might even feel like we're going to break under that weight. But here's the good news. God did not design us to carry those burdens alone. He gave us a family. A family that looks out for one another. A family that is there for one another. A family that will help bear our burdens. Today we're going to talk about what that means. When God called us from our reading, Galatians 6, 1 and 2, through the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, when God called us to help bear one another's burdens, what does that exactly mean? What does it entail? We're going to unpack that today. And we're going to do it so that we can be better. So that we can support one another. So that we can be in a place where there's a lot of sin. Folks, there's a lot of sin in this room. There's a lot of sin on this stage. Because we are all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And because of that, we have heavy loads. But we're in the very place, a hospital full of sinners, that no one, if we tell one another and cry out for help and ask for help and plead for help, there is not one of us that should die spiritually from that burden we're carrying. Because we're here to help one another. Again, our text this morning comes from Galatians. We're not quite on number one yet, but that's okay that it's up there. Our text this morning comes from Galatians 6 verse 2 that we've read. But here's what it says if you still have that opening in your device or Bible. Here's what it reminds us of. It's very simple. Don't you love that God is not the author of confusion? That He writes things simplistic, that we can grasp it, we can understand it? Here's what He has Paul speak. Bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Why? What else will it do besides help that person? It will fulfill the law of Christ. You see, I think we understand and we hear that word, bear one another's burdens, but sometimes we forget that second part. It fulfills the law of Christ. Well, then the next question should be, what is the law of Christ? I'm glad you asked. In John 13:34, Jesus Christ, Scott, it's in red, said these words, a new commandment I give to you, that you what? You can answer it, love one another. Just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. Do you know that is the law of Christ? How do you know that, Terry? Well, from passages like that. Remember He said, by this they'll know you're My disciples. But He also said when He was asked and He was quizzed and He was tried, they tried to catch Him in some type of trickery. But He was always on top of everything. What is the greatest command? Jesus, and here's the implication. There are 600 plus commands under the old law. What is the greatest? You remember what Jesus said. He said, love. First of all, the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength. Second, love one another. How? Love. As you have loved yourself, on these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. When I help bear one another's burdens, not only am I helping my brother and my sister out, I am also fulfilling the law of love, the law of Christ. See, that's the heart of bearing one another's burdens. Love in action. So let's unpack it. Number one, we have to ask the question, what does it mean to bear one another's burdens? There we have the scripture on the screen, and you can see in verse 2 again, the word bear. Let's define it. Remember, written in Greek, right? Here's the Greek word that is used. Baspadzu. Baspadzu. You know what that means? It means to carry, to lift up, to support something heavy. Think about that for a second. When we see a brother or sister struggling, we might visually see it. Now listen. Let me take an aside here. For those of us who are just going to sit there and struggle in silence, maybe we put on a good front. Maybe we come in and we look the part, we sing the part, we talk the part, we pray the part, but you're not going to let anybody in. It's hard for us to bear that burden. I'm not talking about that. We can't read minds, can we? But sometimes we can see it on people. I've walked up to people and I've just seen them. I'm like, hey, are you all right today? And then they'll tell you, not really. But doesn't it do your heart good that they're here? You know why they came here today? Or if they come up to you, maybe they text you through the week or reach out to you through the week. Hey, can you pray for me? Can you talk with me? Can you be there for me? Can you help me? And then you see them on Sunday. You know why they came here today? Because it's a hospital. Yes, they're here to worship, but it's a hospital for sinners trying to get to the Holy of Holies, to heaven with God Almighty. And quite frankly, sometimes we're broken down. Sometimes we're hurting. Sometimes we have something heavy on our backs. So when we know of that, maybe that brother, that sister struggling with sin, maybe it's deep sorrow, maybe it's some other physical need, may we not be the hospital staff of both of those hospitals. I don't know if I could live with myself. If I would have been a nurse in the hospital the day Miss Green and the other lady passed, Miss Rodriguez. But somewhere along the way they passed by. They ignored the cries and they died physically. We cannot ignore the cries. We cannot ignore the ones that we know about and allow them in our presence to die spiritually. Paul's not talking about taking their burden away. We may not have that ability. He's just talking about stepping in, lifting that load with them and carrying it alongside of them. Think about it. If someone's grieving the loss of a loved one, we can't bring that person back. If someone's battling a chronic illness, we can't lay our hands on them and heal them. But we can help them carry it. We can lighten the load. We can remind them, hey, you're not going to walk this road by yourself. If you think about the context of Galatians 6, go back to verse 1. Paul writes there, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are a spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. See? Part of bearing one another's burdens is helping that brother or sister who stumbled in sin. Not with judgment. You know why not with judgment? Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But suppose today you saw me doing something inappropriate. I'm going to hope you're not going to go gossip about that. I'm going to hope that you're not going to go on Facebook and say the preacher of his age, listen, I live in a glass house. I realize that might be the case. But I hope you're going to come to me and say, hey, brother, I love you. You're wrong. You see, that's our responsibility. That's who we are. And FYI, yes, as shepherds of this church, it is a responsibility for us to look out for the flock and do that. But it's not just our responsibility. It's all of us. You see, we're not to judge. We're not to wag a finger. But we're to do it with gentleness. Why? So that we can bring them back to Jesus Christ. Again, don't miss this. Paul says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When we bear each other's burdens, again, we're talking about what it means to bear one another's burdens. When we bear each other's burdens, we're not just being nice. We're obeying Jesus. We're living out His command to love. You see, that ought to wake us up this morning. Bearing one another's burdens, that's not optional. It's not an option. It's not just to shuck responsibility. Hey, it's the associate minister. Hey, it's the minister. It's the youth minister. It's the elders. They'll take care of that. No, if I know my brother is living in sin, I have a responsibility in love, in gentleness, to say to my brother, don't live in sin. I love you. You see, when we understand it's not an option, it's not a if you feel like it kind of thing to do, it's fulfilling the law of Christ. So that leads us to number two. We've answered some of it, but why should we bear one another's burdens? There are a lot of reasons probably, but I'm going to sum it up in three today. Here's number one. Because we are family. Turn to Romans 12, please, verse 5. Paul writes there, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, like meditated over that thought. But he says there, we are members of one another. That's very powerful. You see, the person you're sitting next to, and again, a lot of us are sitting with family. But let's say the people over here in this section and the people over here in this section and vice versa. And we could change it all up, right? And in the balcony. We could change it up. They're not just our brother in Christ and our sister in Christ. They are part of me. That's what he said. He said, you are one body in Christ, individually, members one of another. They're part of you, and you're part of them. We are family. Not by blood, some of us are, but by something stronger, the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what family should do? Take care of one another. If a child falls, let's say it's your niece or your nephew, and you watch that child fall and they scrape their knee. Should you just say, hey, that's your problem, kid. Hope your mom and daddy come. No, none of us would do that. We would go and we'd help that kid up. It's not our blood kid, right? Maybe they're blood kin, but they're not our child. We would help them up. We would take care of their wound. We would band-aid it. We would do whatever we had to do. Why? Because that is a child who is hurting. And that child is part of us. Well, guess what? In Christ, you're mine. And I'm yours. We are family. I love the story of Abraham and Lot. The town, as the old saying goes, was literally not big enough for the two of them. They had acquired so much wealth from God, blessings from God, right? That there was trouble. There wasn't enough room for all the animals and herdsmen and everything. And the herdsmen of Lot started feuding with the herdsmen of Abraham. And so it was causing a strife. And so there was an issue and there was a problem. And Abraham, being as wise as he said, hold on. We're going to solve this. Lot, you pick whatever you want and you take yours and go that way. Unfortunately, he chose Sodom. But he let him choose first. He said, we'll take the leftovers. And you remember what he said there? The old King James is my favorite because of the way it says it. He said, we shouldn't be fighting because we be brethren. We are family. We are brothers. We are sisters. We be brethren. Secondly, we should bear one another's burdens because Jesus Christ did it for us. Galatians 6:2 says that bearing one another's burdens fulfills the law of Christ. But let's look at it further. Matthew 11:28-30. You remember what Jesus said there? come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, heavy burdened. If you come to me, I will give you rest. You know what he did? He took our heaviest burden, and that's sin, and he carried it to the cross. Isaiah, again, 53, verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You remember, and I've told this before, and I hope it will resonate well today. You remember when they pulled the man out of the crowd to help Jesus carry the cross? You might look at that and say, well, that was a sweet thing for them to do. But it really wasn't sweet. It was a necessity. Because Jesus had been beaten and lost a lot of blood. He'd been up all night. He'd been to a mock trial after mock trial. He'd been hurt by one of those that he'd been with for 3 years, betrayed. And now all of a sudden they take him into the hall called Praetorium, put that clothing on him, ripped it off of him, he's bleeding more. And they've given him this heavy tree to carry. And he's carrying that tree, and literally, he collapses. So then the people that are with him, the soldiers and such, they took something like an ox goad. What was an ox goad? Well, when the ox just sat down and quit plowing, they goad that thing to get it up. Well, now Jesus is just an animal to them. So when he collapses with that heavy cross, loss of all that blood, loss of all that sleep, probably hasn't eaten, they goad him. You could see it, right? You can see it in your head. Jesus gets up, carries it a little further, and they go. He falls and they goad him. And that happens. Does it happen a lot? I have no idea. Just understanding through those that have written and understood kind of how that scene was, that's what's going on. Eventually, Jesus collapses, and they goad him, and they goad him, and they goad him, and he can't get up. So then, they get somebody to bear that cross and carry it to Golgotha. Every time we sin, we do that to him all over again, according to the Hebrew writer. We're not the one in the crowd that they randomly choose to carry his cross. We're the ones who are goading him, putting him back on that cross. You see, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus is not just our example. He's the bearer of our heaviest burden. Number three, we do it because it builds up the church. If you turn to Ephesians 4:16, Paul there is talking about the church. And it's beautiful writing. And he says here in verse 16, talking about the body of Christ, that's us, that's the church, that's the family, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When we bear one another's burdens, we're doing the work of the church, and we're building up the church. You see, outside of here, there are a lot of people that carry burdens. You know that? Probably a lot in here. But think about the societies of the world. Think about the world out here. They're struggling. They're hurting. When they hear about, man, that church at Azalea City, they love one another. They're helping one another. They're bearing one another's burdens. That's appealing. And it helps the church grow. What happens when a church family doesn't help each other? Instead of helping each other, they fight with each other. And they talk about each other. And they do things that they shouldn't do. They tear down the church. You know what happens? That church falls apart. The church is not happening at Azalea City. I mean, that church is not falling apart at Azalea City. So I'm proud of us. But this is a sermon to remind us we're living stones, and now we've been trying to live like Jesus. Now we're going to do what Jesus says. And that's to help each other and do better. You see, when we carry each other's loads, we are knitting ourselves together. We're galvanizing ourselves together. And we're going to grow and we're going to stand stronger. And whatever storm comes our way, we'll be able to get through it. Thirdly, how? What is it? Why do we do it? How do we do it? Four practical ways. Number one, be present. Be present. You can't bear a burden you don't know about. Fellowship is not just about eating snacks, drinking coffee, eating food. That's just a bonus that goes with fellowship, okay? Fellowship is getting to know one another, growing together, understanding each other, talking about struggles if we have them. You see, if we're going to be present, we've got to be in each other's lives. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, I love that passage. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Yeah, we're here to draw near. Yeah, we're here to strengthen our grip, but we're also here to consider one another, to stir up love and good works. So let's be practical. Don't just show up on Sunday and rush out the door. Listen, I know you might have something in a crock pot and preacher's long or whoever's long. I get that. Occasionally. Well, I know I'm long all the time, but occasionally you got to rush out the door. I get it. But stick around. Open your mouth. Talk to one another. Stay and participate in the disciple groups. First, some of the groups were telling me, man, first week we had great attendance. Second week it fell off about half. Or the second time. Why? Why? Listen. I mean, what do we have to do on Sundays that matter? Leaders of Light's coming up. Why does we have to leave? Why do we have to rush out? Be there. Ask people, how are you really doing? And listen to them. You'd be amazed how much a burden lifts just allowing somebody to tell you what's going on in their life. Secondly, pray for each other. James 5:16, confess your trespasses one another and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. Prayer is not a small thing, folks. It's powerful. Very powerful. When someone tells us they're struggling, don't say, hey, I'll pray for you and forget it. Let's make a habit of stopping, and even if we've got to pray with them right then, let's do it. Put your arm around them. Love them. Pray. Be there. Lift that burden to the Father. And then keep praying. Even write it down if you have to. Thirdly, meet practical needs. In Acts 2, 44 and 45, the early church had all things in common, sold their possessions, goods, divided them among all as anyone who had need. For brothers out of work, hear me out on this. Don't make them lazy. Okay? If a brother's out of work, don't just give them everything. Don't just do everything for them. Why? That makes them lazy. The Bible says if a man won't work, he shall not eat. Help them find a job. Give them some work to do and pay them for it. Please, understand, I believe in helping people and all that, but God expects us to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps or allow somebody else to do it as well. Hey, what about a widow and their fridge is empty? Why don't we take them some groceries? What about that young mom who's so overwhelmed? Maybe you could ask, hey, can I help watch your kids for an afternoon. You see, love isn't just words, it's action. John says in 1 John 3:18, let us not love in word or in tongue, but what? In deed and in truth. Our final point. We need to restore others with gentleness. That goes back to Galatians 6:1. Someone's caught in sin. Again, let's not go gossip about it. Hey, don't condemn them. It's not your job anyhow, by the way. You're not Jesus Christ, nor am I. Go to them in private, the way Jesus told us to. Do it in love. And help them find their path back. You know why that doesn't happen a lot? Because it's hard. It's not easy to do. And listen, if somebody does it, listen, I know we're built to set up a defensive stance, but please understand the heart behind it. You see, it's easier to judge somebody than to help bring them back to Christ. Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to save. And we're His hands and feet. Here's the question, church. Are we bearing each other's burdens? Are we fulfilling the law of Christ? Hey, I love this place. I've seen this happen so much. I've seen it happen with me personally. 26 years, you better believe I've had some heavy burdens. And man, you have picked me up. You have carried me. You held my arms up like Joshua did with Moses. I've seen you bring meals to the sick, pray over the hurting, sit with those who are lonely. But I think we all could say there's always more to do. There's somebody here today who is carrying a load. Maybe they haven't told you. Maybe they haven't told anybody. Maybe today they'll open up. Will we be willing to listen? Or maybe it's you. Maybe it's me. What I'm asking you to do is don't hide it. Share it with your family. And if we know of someone who is struggling, let's step in before it's too late. Let's not be the very place where they die spiritually. I want to close with this. Scott read it a moment ago. Jesus' words. Matthew 25, beginning in 35. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did you see a stranger and when did we see you as stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, don't miss this, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. When we bear each other's burdens, we're serving the King Himself. That's what it's all about. So let's commit, church. Let's be a family that carries each other, loves each other, builds each other up. Today you're here and you're carrying a burden. Maybe that burden is you are not part of the kingdom. It takes walking the aisle, confessing Jesus, and being immersed in water. Maybe you're here and you are bearing a heavy burden. Maybe that might mean that you need to come down. Maybe you're living in sin. Maybe you need to come. Listen, if you will come and confess your sin today, there will not be anyone here who judges you. If they do, we'll address that. Walk this aisle. Repent of your sins. Give Jesus Christ the burden. And let's do it right now as together we stand and sing.